You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
On a jam-packed Wednesday, we welcome you into the show. Scott Unash with you. Isaac back on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side. We got a great show coming up for you today. Rob Gray is going to join us. We will talk Iowa State football as the Cyclones get ready to head to Oklahoma, Norman, Oklahoma, to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. Foreseeably for the final time, but you never know. We will talk about that and other things Iowa State with Rob, who covers the Cyclones for Cyclone Fanatic and for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Chris Liss of Real Man Sports will stop by to answer your fantasy football questions. You can get those ready to go at any time during the hour on the text line at 319-366-1600. That is the text line, as I mentioned. That's our phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Get ready to take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this program known as the Gym Class here on KGYM 1600 ESPN, and as well as 102.3 FM and 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by simply going to DuPaco.com. Lots to get to on the show here today, gentlemen. Good afternoon, Mark, to you. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And look forward to diving into what we have on the plate today.
And that's a lot. And Isaac, good to have you back. How are you? Are you all trying to figure out if Messi's going to play tonight or not?
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to figure that out. I'm all right. Not too bad. I got midterms. They really snuck up on me. So
they
I got
did. Those,
yeah. I got what in next week, next couple of weeks, I have a couple of midterm tests.
All right. Good luck to you. Do not ask Mark and I for any help because we will fail to help you.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just have to look through.
Are you
Hopefully
still...
I took some good notes.
Here's the big question. Are you still going to be able to make educated picks on Friday?
Yes, I will be able to do that just fine.
Okay. That's what America wants to know. Are you going to be able to make some picks so I can get off the 2-4 train?
You know, I think us combined, our picks together, got to be...
3-3?
At least we can get to 500 there.
Yes. Yes.
It's too bad they don't make Cliff's notes for picks.
Oh, they do, but you got to pay for them. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program here on KGYM. Thanks for joining us here today. Going to talk to Rob Gray in just a few minutes here, talk Iowa State football. Of course, after we were off the air last night, Mark, the news coming down from Major League Baseball and the Baltimore Orioles and the Hall of Fame itself in Cooperstown, the passing of a legend last night, Brooks Robinson, the longtime third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles, just a tremendous, tremendous career, especially defensively. You can make a case that he was the greatest third baseman defensively of all time. I think he was myself. Probably he, maybe Craig Nettles, a distant second, but Brooks Robinson was the man at the hot corner for many, many years for the Baltimore Orioles. I know you were right there as far as his career is concerned. He ended up his career in the late 70s when I was just starting to get into baseball. I do remember seeing very little of him playing at that particular time. But he was the staple at third base in Major League Baseball basically throughout the 1960s into the early 70s.
Yeah, I was in high school and early in my years of college when Brooks Robinson hung it up. His last full year really was 1975. But when I think of Brooks Robinson, number one, I think of some great teams that he led. Number two, his ability at third base. third, he was a throwback, having played with the same team for 23 years. He was just a standard bearer in many respects, and certainly never met him or knew him, but everybody out there in the stories that you read today say he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Not that you have to be a nice guy to be a great baseball player, but that was his legacy, 86 years old.
86 years old, and I know a lot of clips from some of the great plays that he made that were shown last night. You can't really rank them, I don't think. I mean, they were all spectacular, some of them, and he will be missed, certainly. And, of course, the Baltimore Orioles in the midst of a playoff run right now, and I'm sure playing with heavy hearts, but maybe also playing with a purpose now to try to win a pennant and a World Series for the legendary and now late Brooks Robinson. We will have to wait and see on that. 319-366-1600 is the text line. That is the phone line as well. And Cyclone Tim saying, saw highlights of Brooks terrorizing my Cincinnati Reds in the 1970 World Series with his play at third base. Yeah, he made some great plays and probably was benefited by AstroTurf a little bit on some of them because the ball would get on you back pretty good in that 1970 World Series. But he made one play backhanded in foul territory that may be the greatest play I've ever seen a third baseman make. It was that good. 319-366-1600. Isaac, go ahead and get Rob Gray on the line, and we will talk some Iowa State athletics with Rob coming up here in just a little bit. Get you an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update toward the bottom of the hour as well, brought to you by Emels First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Open Monday through Saturday from 4 until 11. And speaking of baseball, before we get to Rob here, New York Mets not a happy bunch, Mark, after the rainout last night in New York City. Reportedly furious to the point where Met owner Steve Cohen apologized to the Miami Marlins. They're going to play a doubleheader today. And at this juncture, with as much on the line that the Marlins have, that's not an ideal situation.
No, Miami was very upset with the fact that the Mets chose not to cover the field Saturday, and that led to a postponement last night, and as you mentioned, consequently a doubleheader today, a very impactful one at that, given what happened with Arizona winning and winning again today, and we'll get to that on the scoreboard. And the Cubs losing in, I don't know what kind of fashion that was, but
bad. It was bad.
Yeah, losing a 6-0 lead is never good.
No, especially the way.
My team's done it. Your team has done it. But the last week of the season when you're in a wild card chase and for that to happen is just really hurts.
Especially when you're playing, you know, one of the two best teams in the National League, or coming down to the wire. You think you've got your ace out there, you've got a 6-0 lead, and then that happens in the bottom of the eighth inning, and it all goes away. And with the Marlins having to play a doubleheader today, Arizona is comfortably in front. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. We'll see how the standings look like when we reconvene tomorrow. On Saturday, it's Iowa State and Oklahoma from Norman. One final time, at least for the foreseeable future anyway. And to talk about that and all things Iowa State, our friend Rob Gray joining us here, and writes for Cyclone Fanatic as well as the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And Rob, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And let's go back to last Saturday, though, at Jack Trice Stadium. Everyone expected a defensive battle, and lo and behold, we got a little bit of offense. Not running so much, and we'll get to that with the Cyclones coming up in just a little bit. But got to think there was a pretty big sigh of relief in Central Iowa and at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday night after Iowa State posted a W.
Yeah, it was a massive. First of all, great to join you, Scott and Mark. And it was a massive sigh of relief after, you know, the offense could only muster one late touchdown at Ohio. You know, probably a really good MAC team might win the MAC. So not a gimme game, but a game you have to have if you want to bounce back from last season's 4-0 the turmoil. So, you know, definitely got the offense rolling. Rocco Becht had looked actually pretty good through the first three games, even though his numbers, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, weren't looking that great. But 348 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions against a Cowboys team that was really facing a crossroads, just like the Cyclones last week. And 34 points on the board, most since beating TCU 48-14 late in 2021. So, yeah, sigh of relief, jubilation, everything for Cardinal and gold-clad people last week at Jack Christ Stadium.
Rob, that's kind of like Rocco Becht from the start. I don't know whether it's the it factor or what, but he makes some tremendous plays. Just when he's about to get hit, he makes a tremendous throw. He can beat you with his legs. Maybe not beat you, but sustained drives. What went into, if you'll recall, Matt Campbell selecting him over J.J. Cole?
Yeah, I mean, if you'll remember, coming out of fall camp, the assessment generally given to us in the media was they're pretty much neck and neck. And in the first game, they did indeed play both guys. I think J.J. probably got maybe third quarter as many snaps or drives as Rocco. So that was the first indication that, okay, Rocco had maybe separated himself a little bit. But, I mean, Cole, of course, when he committed and enrolled early, consensus four-star recruit, all the measurables, great arm, proved it at Ankeny High School, proved it at elite youth camps before coming to Iowa State. But Becht was not a consensus four-star, but he was a four-star by some recruiting services. And, of course, his father, Anthony, veteran NFL player, 10, 11 seasons in the league, XFL coach, steeped his son in the game. And so came in with a lot of savvy and a bit of swagger out of Florida. And they were high on him from the beginning as well. Not as big as Cole. I mean, more almost like Brock Purdy size, it feels like. That's where the comparison will stop at this point. But, I mean, the indication was that Rocco was going to be slightly ahead. And then when you factor in the fact he's got 1 year in the system as opposed to just January on, as J.J. Cole, it became clearer and clearer that he was going to be the guy for the foreseeable future.
Good news for Iowa State, big plays, dotted things, and peppered the score sheet on Saturday. Like I said, that's the good news. Maybe not as good a news, certainly, as the fact that it was basically through the air. It's the running game right now is still not there for Iowa State.
No, not at all. But, I mean, if the offense can at least produce 70-plus yards on the ground like it did against Oklahoma State, but a terrible per carry average yet again, that still keeps the defense, quote-unquote, honest. And at some point, once Iowa State hit on a couple of big plays, catching Oklahoma State, putting too many in the box, caught him in a cover zero once, for wide open touchdown. They had to adjust a little bit. And we saw Eli Sanders break off some nice runs in the second half. Some of the longest, in fact, the longest, I suppose, troublingly for Iowa State, a 15-yarder is the longest run against FBS competition this season for the Cyclones. But, you know, it doesn't need to be balanced in terms of yardage, but it does need to approach being balanced in terms of play call. And last week was more balanced than the week before. Rocco threw more passes at Ohio because the run game was even less productive. So if they can get 70, 80, 90 yards on the ground and at least rush it 20, 25 times and get that production from the air, it's got a chance to win some games. But it's a very delicate balance and with a lot of young players trying to execute that.
Big task, obviously, at Oklahoma this week. I wonder if you'd give your assessment on Iowa State's defense maybe last game out against Oklahoma State was an outlier, but how is this defense playing?
Up until last week, very, very, very good. I felt like they were caught out of position more often than I can remember in a game. Oklahoma State hit on a couple of big plays, which has, again, been the problem for the defense. You know, the Iowa game, couple of big plays. Ohio didn't really have a big play, but it was the big turnover that set up a short field and the Bobcats touchdown. But, you know, Gary Vaughn was just coming back and clearly not himself at linebacker, the one really experienced guy there. They were without Malik Verdon, which has been a theme, unfortunately, for Iowa State during his career. Really, really valuable player in the secondary at safety. So I'm going to view it as an outlier game because Oklahoma State really executed things well. They winnowed themselves down from the three quarterback deal to just Alan Bowman, who's experienced and has some weapons in that offense and took advantage for 409 yards, one of the most biggest outbursts against Iowa State's defense. Well, heck, they'd gotten 18 games in a row or 17, whatever it was, holding opponents below 400 yards. So a bit concerning, but again, once they got that two-touchdown lead, you play a little bit softer. And some of that came before that, though. I think the defense is still really, really good, but also, like the offense, really young in a lot of spots, linebacker outside of Vaughn, not the secondary, but certainly up front with some younger components along the line. There's going to be some moments where they're a little wobbly, but I think overall it's been very solid this season, and if that can continue and there aren't too many more outliers, again, cause for optimism to some degree for the Cyclones.
Rob, Matt Campbell wanted to see two things get better, the offensive line, and he wanted physicality. What did you see on Saturday?
Well, I think I saw an offensive line that could not really execute the blocks it needed to spring running backs for whatever reason. Now, I think they did bring in a true freshman, Brandon Black. At times, he looked really good. They might have to put in some younger players because, I mean, habits, right? You've got some experience on that line, but what have they been doing? I mean, you feel like there's a bit of a new scheme. They're trying to run zone a lot. If one guy struggles in executing that, I mean, it's going to make it impossible to move the ball on the ground. So I think they're physical. I think that you're seeing it in their pass protection where they've only given up one sack through four games this season. And Beck's, Jersey's gotten dirty a few times, but he's generally been able to get it out without getting hit a whole lot. So, you know, physicality, I think it's there. It's hard to see it, though, when they're moving around and not getting the key block that they need or whiffing on one and watching a running back go down for a two-yard loss. I think it's very much a work in progress, but Brian Clanton's track record is pretty, pretty impressive and probably needs a little bit of time to see more than incremental progress mushroom into something more.
Oklahoma has blown out a couple really inferior teams, but then had a mild test against SMU and Cincinnati. Oklahoma does have Texas next week. Aside from that, what do you think Iowa State has to do to stay competitive in this game, maybe have a chance to win it at the end? Just a overall complete performance?
Yes, but I also think that the defense has to return to form. I mean, this is an Oklahoma offense. Excuse me, Bill and Gabriel quarterback is as efficient a guy as you'll find. I mean, 12 touchdowns, one interception this year. I think his career touchdown to interception ratio is something like 5-1. You know, for a guy who's played as much college football as he has, that's saying something. You know, they got solid running backs. They've got a lot of weapons in the passing game. You know, guys like Nick Anderson really scare me. 8 catches, 4 touchdowns, 28-yard average. And that's just, you know, there's 4 or 5 guys. And they always have a good tight end or two. I'm saying this, when Iowa State won in 2017, they outscored Oklahoma. It was just 38-31 that fell behind early, and the offense really clicked. Then the next time Iowa State goes for two, it's a 42-41 game or whatever. Brock Purdy can't quite connect on the two-point conversion. And then the last time they played, there was a little bit low scoring, but it was still a one-score game. So, the passing game will have to be there again, but if the running game is completely non-existent it's going to be a really, really, really long Saturday because Oklahoma will hit you, strike fast and move fast. And if Iowa State can't sustain some drives with a little bit of balance, that defense is going to get too tired out, and it could get really ugly. I feel like they've shown that they can compete, especially in recent years at Oklahoma. And as long as they execute offensively to as well as they did against Oklahoma State, they've got a shot to not just hang in there, but keep it close and have a chance near the end.
How weird is it that this is probably it for the football team's trips to Norman, Oklahoma? I mean, that's just it's sad in a way, but it's what we live in 2023, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is sad. I mean, a lot of rivalries are going to – I mean, this calling this a rivalry is kind of unfair to Oklahoma given its dominance. I don't think there's any long-running rivalry in any major conference in which one team's more dominant over the other. But nonetheless, the tradition, that's a big part of, I think, what appeals to people for college football. And new traditions will come, but it's a little bit harder to build them when you're out at Provo, Utah, or down in Orlando versus, you know, traditional rivals you've been playing for 100-plus years.
Basketball right around the corner, unbelievably so. But how good is TJ's team going to be?
Well, on paper, certainly his most skilled team. I mean, when you bring in the three transfer guards, they can all shoot it from three. Most, if not all of them, can really create and make plays for others. And you consider Damon Lipsey, all the experience he garnered last season, you know, continued leadership from Robert Jones and some of the development of big guys like Trey King and Hassan Ward back for another season. Just as loaded a team as they've had. Now, how that translates, I mean, you know, Sweet 16, season one, first round exit last year, but a very solid season. You know, what that means for March is anyone's guess, but this team is built to be very competitive in an extra competitive Big 12, given what's been added. And I know they're really, really high on who they've got. And you know, if they can stay healthy, they should be very much challenged to at least be in that conversation among the top tier teams throughout the Big 12 season.
Yeah, and Big 12 basketball, I mean, it's last year's Big 12 before the addition of the four teams they were the best conference in America, hands down, without a doubt. A lot of those players have left, but I think they have filled most of those roster spots with some pretty good folks. And then you bring in the likes of the, you know, BYU. Good luck going out to the Marriott Center out at Provo. I know Iowa State's got to do that very early in the year. That is not going to be a lot of fun. But I tell you what, you jump right into it. Iowa State's first Big 12 home games, Kelvin Sampson in Houston, coming on Tuesday, January the 9th. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, talk about it in a reverse sort of way. You know, you're saying goodbye to the Oklahoma rivalry, or at least the series, let's say. And then a former OU coach, some would say, I guess, well, I won't go any further than that. But that's going to be, you know, interesting. He's really built a powerhouse program in Houston, again, that very much shines up, polishes Big 12's already analytics-wise best conference in the nation status. So be exciting to get going that way, and sad that they're not going to play home and home with Kansas. I don't know why they wouldn't want to try to preserve that year after year, but I guess you kind of catch a break usually if you only play Kansas once. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, pretty tough test right out the gate.
Yeah, no trip to Lawrence this year. How weird is that going to be?
Very, very weird. No question.
Yeah. Big 12 tournament, though, back in Kansas City this year. So that makes Iowa State fans very happy.
Extremely.
Extremely. No doubt about that. Iowa State, I think they got an outside shot Saturday night. I mean, things got to go well. I mean, it was the both coaches and talking about the defenses nonstop, really. Jim Haycock and both Matt Campbell talking about how much better this OU defense is now under Brent Venables. And Oklahoma had a lot of glowing things to say about the Iowa State defense. So I expect another 41-34 game, right?
Of course, maybe this one will actually get to overtime. But, I mean, look, on paper, this is going to be a really tough one for Iowa State to keep within two scores, I think. But I really believe that Campbell believes in this group of guys.
Well, I think we lost Rob. I believe he was going to say that that Matt Campbell really believes in these guys. So, all right. We were at the end of our conversation anyway. You might, Isaac, go ahead and give Rob a call and just tell him thank you. We lost him right there at the end. So we'll get that buttoned down and taken care of right there. But our thanks to Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette for joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Iowa State, Oklahoma coming up for you at 4 o'clock. That will be on Saturday right here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 and 106.3 FM. Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update now. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open Monday through Saturday at 4 o'clock. And try out a little outdoor dining, if you will, out on the patio. What do we got?
Major League Baseball, it has gone to the bottom of the ninth inning in Chicago. Arizona leading the White Sox 3-0. In the first of two, the Mets have taken a 2-0 lead over Miami. That's in the top of the second inning. All Cub eyes on those two games right now. The Cubs facing Atlanta again tonight. Michigan State has officially and formally fired head football coach Mel Tucker after he was informed of that intent about a week ago. All that's left to decide is his $80 million, and I'm not sure he'll get any or much of that. We shall see. Men's basketball, Iowa in the Gavitt games will play at Creighton in November, and that's a 9 o'clock start in Omaha, 9 p.m. Central Time. And in the NBA, a blockbuster 8-player, 3-team deal involving Milwaukee, Portland, and Phoenix. Milwaukee acquires Damon Lillard, probably the biggest name, definitely the biggest name in that trade. Also some picks and pick swaps involved in that deal. So we'll see how that impacts those three teams this upcoming season.
Oh, Spencer is a happy guy.
Yes, he is.
It's been a very good 14 hours, 15 hours for Spencer Wagon.
I think Giannis is pretty happy, too.
I think he's happy. Yeah, Buck's got to be you just heard at the top of the hour, Sports Center, Kendrick Perkins saying that the Bucks are the favorite now to win the NBA championship. I think they have to be right there, no doubt, because there's still going to be some movement a little bit, but boy, the Bucks got better today, a lot better in their chances to win another NBA title. So it's going to be a very happy Spencer on Sports today from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Are you prepared for a very happy Spencer, Isaac?
Yeah, I talked to him right when I came in, asking him, I said, great day, I said, good day, he said, it's a great day. I'm loving today, so yeah, he's excited for the show, I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't know whether to wear the Brewer hat or the Bucks hat.
He said he's going to go around tapping his wrist, saying Dame time the rest of the day.
Dame time. Hey, I'd be happy too. I would be happy too. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Go ahead and get your questions ready to go for Chris Liss. Your fantasy football questions ready at 319-366-1600. And we will talk with Chris when we return here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have more sunshine around this afternoon. Temperatures will be in the low 70s, and there still could be a few spotty showers around. As we head into tonight, we'll have some passing clouds, and temperatures will drop down into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, we'll start with some clouds. We'll have some more sunshine in the afternoon. Temperatures will be in the low to mid 70s, and then we warm up even more for the weekend with low 80s by Friday and mid 80s for Saturday and Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Wild Rose Casino and Hotel has a wonderful offer for you. Our $99 hotel special is back. Just $99 gets you an overnight stay, $25 dining credit, and $25 in casino free play. Valid Sunday through Thursday in October only. This special must be booked by September 28th and only by calling the hotel directly. $99 for a room, up to $50 in dining credit, and $50 in free play based on double occupancy. Hurry, this offer is only good through Thursday. Call the hotel today, 243-9000. That's 243-9000. Tell the front desk you want the $99 Wild Rose Wonderfall Special. That number again is 56324. Who are we kidding? You're going to Google the number anyway. $99 for a room and up to $100 in free play and free eats. Only at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton. You'd rather be here.
Offer based on double occupancy. Must be 21 or older. Exclusions and blackout dates may apply.
Life is too short. But what makes it special? Those little moments that happen every day. Those big moments that take our breath away. But no matter the moment, you have to be healthy enough to make them. For women, that means watching our alcohol use as we age, because our bodies can't handle it like we used to. Let's put down the drink so we can savor the moments. Visit yourlifeiowa.org for more info. A message from Iowa HHS.
Hey, sports card collectors. We have a store for you in Coralville, RK Collectibles. We have a huge selection of baseball, football, basketball, UFC, soccer, and much more. We have new releases of trading cards, vintage and former Hawkeyes, and great prices on new Pokemon releases. RK Collectibles has the best selection of hobby boxes you'll find in Iowa. We're located at the corner of Highway 965 and Oakdale Boulevard, just north of Coral Ridge Mall. Stop in.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
MVP's bonus days are back at Lowe's. Shop the largest selection of Klein tools and get 5 times the bonus points. Plus, right now, buy a DeWalt PowerStack battery kit and get a select DeWalt bear tool free, up to a $249 value. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid 9/18 through 9/29. Subject to change. DeWalt offer valid through 10/11.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Wednesday on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, a lot of Ryder Cup talk. Of course, Ryder Cup getting underway on Friday over in Italy. Captain Zach Johnson of the Americans. And, of course, Zach, the 2-time major champion and Cedar Rapids native. Yeah, Cedar Rapids native. We got to talk a little golf tomorrow in late September, and we will do that. Of course, the latest in baseball, and we'll also talk Michigan State football coming up tomorrow, and we will do that on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Right now, it is time to talk fantasy sports, fantasy football to be exact, and our conversation with Chris Liss of Real Man Sports is brought to you by I'm On Communications. They are the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports here on KGYM. And Chris, before we get started, if people don't think they know what you're doing, all I have to do is say I set a league record last week with 198 and a half points in my victory, which,
wow.
Yeah. Well, it helps when you have Tua, Mostert, and Keenan Allen.
That's pretty good. That's very good. You know, you didn't have Devin Ashane playing, but or Ashane, wherever they say it. But, you know, that when your team scores 70, you know, you're going to get some fantasy points out of the players.
That's true. Very true. And, yeah, we'll see how Miami goes about business now against Buffalo, as not only with one back, but two backs. And, yes, he changed the pronunciation of his name this week. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign.
Yeah, never change it, unless, like, you're changing your religion or something. If you're converting to, like, a new religion, like, maybe, but, like, shouldn't just be changing your name willy-nilly like this. You know, these players, they add a hyphen, they add a different name. I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I guess it's Achan now, but regardless, is there a big risk in getting too high on this guy?
Well, you know, he's one of these new breed of backs. You know, every so often a new generation comes along, and you've got these guys like Kenneth Walker, Travis Etienne, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, and now Achane. These guys are small. They're fast. I mean, Gibbs is a little bit bigger. Etienne's 215, but 5'10", and they're, you know, they're running a 4.3, a 4.35, a 4.32. Mostert actually runs like a 4.3-something also. And this is like a new – Mostert's old, but he wasn't playing regularly until the last couple of years. This is a new thing, right? It used to be Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon and Zeke Elliott and Todd Gurley. These were big bruising backs. And now you've got these really fast guys playing. And obviously, Achane's not going to do what he did last week probably ever again, because that was – he had 51 fantasy points. But, you know, what if he's like Jamal Charles or somebody? I mean, this is the – that's the kind of new breed of back. Jamal Charles was like 190-something pounds.
All right, let's get to the questions here for Chris. And if you have one, get it into us right now. Get it into the queue here at 319-366-1600. 1782 is where we start today. Who to start does not say if it's PPR or half point or whatever, but Jackson, Lamar Jackson, or Brock Purdy?
I mean, I'd still go Lamar Jackson, but it's getting closer. And the Browns defense is pretty good, but you still get the running points. And the Cardinals, their defense hasn't been bad, and you could see the Niners running a lot. So I'll go Lamar.
1288 is in a half-point PPR, Chris, and needs three of these five. Christian Watson, if he plays. Thielen, Addison, Tank Dell, or Gabe Davis?
That's really tough, because I don't know what's Watson's snap count going to be. I would use him otherwise. I guess I'd go Tank Dell and Thielen and Davis. I guess those are the guys I go, and I wait a week on Watson, unless you get, you know, this news that he's going to get his absolute full complement of snaps.
Short week for the Packers also. They play on Thursday.
Yes, it is a short week.
Short week.
But he's had a long week. He's had a month.
true. 0503 in a PPR league, Breida or Allgaier?
Both bad. I mean, if Barkley doesn't play, I would go Breida. But if Barkley's playing, definitely Allgaier.
Allgaier, I'm sorry. I don't have him anyway, so I didn't pronounce him correctly.
It's Allgaier, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Man, Fairfax would like to know Pacheco or Kenneth Walker.
Got to go Kenneth Walker. Pacheco is – he runs hard, but he's just a guy. Kenneth Walker is a super talent. No offense, Scott.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, Edwards-Helaire is going to get some carries, and McKinnon's going to do his thing. Walker's off to a great start, too, for Seattle.
I mean, I watched him last year as a rookie, and he got hurt at one point. But when he was playing, this is the quickest guy in the league. I mean, he's fast, but I just mean lateral movement, moves.
you know, changing directions in space. This is the fastest running back in the league. And I drafted him in a couple teams because I'm like, this guy, he's got to stay healthy. And now they threw him some passes last week too, which is a good sign.
Very good sign. Let's go 85-93 up next here for Chris Liss, Real Man Sports, 319-366-1600. Jacoby Myers or Michael Thomas in a PPR league?
Ooh, I'm going to say Thomas, but it's pretty close. You know, they're also, I think Garoppolo is going to play, but that's kind of a big deal if he doesn't play.
Brady in Cedar Rapids, Fields or Purdy?
Fields against the Broncos. I got to go Fields. I mean, he's been terrible, but I think this is a soft enough defense that he could run wild against them. So give me Fields.
Yep. If the Bears are going to do it, they're going to do it against the Broncos. Are you buying into the whole the Bears should be done with Justin Fields situation and look ahead to Caleb Williams, perhaps?
That's stupid, Scott.
I agree. I'm just asking. I'm asking Chris's opinion.
So, yeah, my opinion is it's really tough because Fields is in the in-between, right? You want a quarterback like Burrow or somebody that you're just like, okay, we know this is our guy, Herbert, someone like that. You get Fields, you're like, he's shown some stuff. He's not a, you know, total bust, but it's so inconsistent, and he just needs to play on this instinct, which is hard to coach for. I don't know. I probably would just, you know, encourage him all year long and then see where they are at the end of the year. And if they have to make a trade in the offseason, they could. But there's no reason to decide that now.
No, I agree.
Ryan and Walford, Stroud or Love in a two-quarterback league, imagining that Burrow is an auto play.
Yeah, Burrow looked reasonably healthy, I guess. I mean, I guess I'll go Stroud. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is okay, but Stroud looks like the Panthers made a big mistake and they probably should have taken him. He looks good so far.
So far. It's only 3 weeks, but so far. Chris Liss joining us at 346, 86, 83. DJ Moore or Lockett in a PPR league?
Probably Lockett, but they both have very good matchups. Giants have not been stopping people either. Coin flip, but also my gut says Lockett.
70-42 is in a PPR league. Needs to start two wide receivers of these three. Nacua, Olave, or St. Brown?
I would sit. I mean, that's a good problem to have. I'd probably sit Nacua. I think that Olave and St. Brown are just automatic. But I get it. I mean, Nacua was getting a ridiculous amount of targets the first couple of weeks.
Yep, you got to ride the hot hand right there. In a PPR league for 81-40, PPR league, Flowers or Cooper?
Cooper. I mean, Cooper's the number one. You know, Flowers is in the mix.
Do you have a story to tell about Flowers in your draft?
Yeah, I had a keeper league. I wanted to draft A-Chain. I just had this weird – I was just feeling like I should draft A-Chain because I got him in my other leagues. And then I posted a poll on Twitter, you know, which guy should I draft? Because as you guys know, I'm not really a college football guy. It's rookies that we're drafting. It's a dynasty league. And one of the guys that rely on, he said, no, take Flowers. He's really good. And I said, yeah, I was just leaning A-Chain, but you're probably right. And someone else wrote, for A-Chain to succeed, he'd have to be a historic outlier at his size. And I'd just written a column on Real Man Sports called Outliers about that day I was drafting it, about like Marion Rivera and Justin Tucker and Tom Brady and LeBron James, and how like these are weird players that don't do what they're supposed to. And I was like, oh, that's the wrong word to say because it's just what I'm working on. And I ignored my instinct and I took Flowers, who's been fine, but who knows, right? I mean, hey, Jane, you know, maybe he's Jamal Charles, and it's making me nervous that I passed on him.
Has been 3 weeks, though. It's only been 3 weeks.
Just 1 week. He didn't even play the first 2 weeks.
True.
One game, but it's not just the size. People say, oh, it's a small sample size. Don't worry. It's also the magnitude of the sample, right? If you had one at bat in the major, Scott, and you hit a 700-foot home run, right? It's one at bat, but you hit a, no one's ever hit. You know, it would mean a lot. It's the magnitude also, and that game was a pretty high magnitude.
True. 14-12 here. Dak, Daniel Jones, or Russell Wilson?
I would go Daniel Jones. It would be better if Andrew Thomas is back. We don't know yet whether he's playing, but that's huge. Their, you know, star left tackle. But I think I would go Daniel Jones.
0-8-3-5 is in a PPR league. He's starting Kenneth Walker at RB1. Who to start at RB2, Pacheco or Rashad White?
I guess Rashad White's been all right. I guess I would go Pacheco just because the matchup is so good.
I mean, second part of the point.
I mean, the Jets are tough, but it's just that, when you have your favorite to win by that much, you probably will do a lot of running.
Second part of that question, is Dalvin Cook worth keeping after the first couple weeks?
I mean, it always depends on, what's the alternative? I mean, he hasn't looked good, and they have Breece Hall is getting healthier, but who would you be dropping him for?
True. 12:50 here as we come up on 10 before 4 here with Chris. In a PPR league, Tyler Lockett or Tank Dell? Thank you.
I'd probably go Lockett, though Tank Dell seems to have a nice rapport with Stroud.
Very true. Isaac, we had a question phoned in to us, correct?
Yeah, it was before the show. They were wondering what was up with T. Higgins and how reliable is he going to be going forward?
I think he'll be all right. I mean, Burrow missed the whole preseason and then aggravated the calf, so the whole offense was out of sync for two games. Then Ja'Marr Chase finally got into sync Monday night, and Higgins kind of had a bad game. He got an offensive PI, but they were targeting him. He had 9 targets. I wouldn't be too worried about Higgins.
If the Cincinnati Bengals were not 0-2, I believe Joe Burrow would not have played in that game.
You think they would have given another week to rest?
It's
interesting. I mean, I haven't heard anything bad that happened. I mean, I was watching for, is he limping? Is he hobbling? And they got rid of the ball quick. They weren't really throwing downfield much. Did you notice that? They didn't really, do any plays that took time to develop. But he seemed okay during the game.
I would agree.
Who's on injury watch, Chris? Samuel, Ayuk, others?
Yeah, I mean, Barkley is a big one that, he may play. But I hate that it's Monday night. I hate that. Obviously, we talked Christian Watson. Ayuk had a limited practice. Debo was held out of practice with a rib injury. We'll see what happens there. But, if they lost both of them, that would be, then Kittle might have a really big day and get a lot of targets. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I can't play Brian Robinson again this week against Philadelphia, can I?
You can't. Brian Robinson's been good. It's weird. I thought he was kind of a one-dimensional plotter, but he's caught passes and kind of taken over there. The other thing about Philly looked really good. And I watched the Bucs game, and I thought, this game's not even as close as the score, and the score wasn't that close. They're really a powerhouse, but Washington always plays them tough. It's like a division rival coming off a humiliating loss. They got destroyed by the Bills. I think you could play them.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Real Man Sports, and people can get more information.
RealManSports.com. I just wrote my Survivor piece for this week. I write my picking the games against the spread. I had a horrendous week last week. And then I just write up all the games and talk about what's going on in the NFL.
But you helped me get 198.5 points this week.
I don't know, Scott. I didn't give you a good grade. I think maybe I was wrong about your team. I didn't think it was that promising. Keenan Allen's been great. And then having a piece of the Dolphins' offense has been great. It just depends. Can Mostert hold up? That's going to be a big – Mostert and Tua. But so far, so good.
So far, so good. All right. We'll talk next week, Chris. Thanks for the info, and have a good week.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Chris Liss joining us here every Wednesday, and his appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. We'll come back and we'll wrap things up with a Bowling Night in America preview and more after this.
Save 11% on everything. Now at Menards. Get the last roof you'll ever need with Menards Steel Roofing. Steel Roofing adds value to your home, offers superior wind and hail resistance, and is available in cut-to-length panels for fast installation. Right now at Menards, get 11% off. All steel roofing. Good through October 1st. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune in
in every Wednesday to catch the WagerWise podcast for your weekly dose of sports betting wisdom on KGYMRadio.com. Presented by Betfred.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
3:54, back with you to wrap things up here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we will preview the Ryder Cup. Zach Johnson, the Cedar Rapids native, the captain of the American team. Talk about that, the latest in Major League Baseball. Get you closer to the football weekend. Some Thursday night football to talk about as well. Big one between Detroit and Green Bay. And we'll also talk some Michigan State football. Isaac, remind me tomorrow who you're speaking with.
George Blaha. He's the play-by-play announcer for Michigan State.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Tonight, though, it is all about bowling. Bowling Night in America, week four, coming up tonight. And this preview brought to you by May City Bowling, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America, the first place, and white hot, Rusty Nails in action again tonight against a bunch of great guys, including a couple of very, very devoted listeners tonight, Mark.
Week four of 33, the Rusty Nails are at 70-20, holding a 10.5 game lead. And Scott, you know that can evaporate very quickly. But we'll give it a go tonight on lanes 23 and 24 against the team that changes sponsors every year, at least seemingly. They are called Coil Starlight right now. Buzz and Matt and Warren and the guys. Maybe they should be called the Sandbaggers.
Oh, no.
If you look at their averages compared to what they're capable of, okay, I poked a bear.
Yes, you did, and now this is not going to go well. Yeah, trust me, I know. But they are not doing that. They had a tough year last year. They're looking to bounce back, and now Buzz is going to throw a 723 against us tonight. So thank you for that. The
You're
text,
blaming on me.
The text ought to be rolling in here about now. But it'll be fun tonight, as it always is on Wednesday nights. And still time if you'd like to inquire about league bowling, get that ready to go. And if you want to stop by and check out everything at the pro shop, you can do that as well at May City.
Definitely so. You can always give them a call at 362-0136 or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Diamondbacks have beaten the White Sox 3-0, and in the bottom of the third, the Mets with a 2-0 lead over the Miami Marlins, the latest as far as the final week of baseball is concerned. And we've got Houston and Seattle tonight. Houston, a half-game lead over the Mariners for that final spot in the American League wild card. So we'll have that tonight here on 1600 ESPN as well as all of our frequencies. And, yeah, baseball is coming down to the wire, and that is really, really great to see. And, Mark, we'll talk again tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. A very happy Spencer Wagon coming in next for Spencer on Sports from 4 to 6. Talk to you tomorrow.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Rizankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram.